Well, let's take a step back and a deep breath, and to help us do that is our pal Jeff Snyder from Elevate Lacrosse. He joins us every Tuesday for the Elevate Lacrosse Spotlight. And, boy, was it a big weekend for him and lacrosse players in southern Alberta, and particularly here in Calgary. And, by the way, Elevate Lacrosse, Canada's leader in youth lacrosse development. Visit ElevateLacrosse.com to learn more about the opportunities to play and develop in Canada's national summer sport. While I'm thinking of that, I suppose we, on some level, need to congratulate the Saskatchewan Rush, although I don't feel I have to. Do you wish to congratulate them?
Yeah, there's some of my my Team Canada teammates on that team. I'm proud of those guys. We also had a couple of guys that work in the community here, Tor Reinhout and Adam Shute, winning championships with them as well. So that's awesome. Those guys, you know, give back in the community here, coaching kids, and we're happy for them.
All right. You're right. Once again, you're right. When you're right, you're right. So congratulations. I got a real interesting, timely topic for you, but let's deal with this past weekend. How'd the camp go?
It was unreal. We had 12 NCAA coaches in from all over the United States, and it was a weekend with a lot of adversity for a lot of kids. A lot of kids had games and other commitments that they had to make decisions on. Some kids had three games in three nights. I was really impressed. I went with Coach Taylor Ray, former Calgary Roughneck head coach of the St. Joe's men's lacrosse team, a Division I program, and we watched some of those kids battle on Sunday afternoon after, you know, two very long days and two games prior to in the evenings, and the compete level was outstanding. So tons of adversity, and there's kids that are getting, you know, offers right out of this weekend, which is really exciting. So my email has been blowing up, asking for information on kids and contact information. So very positive for Albertans and kids that came in from Saskatchewan and both northern and southern Alberta.
So, and I, you and I both know this, and I would say that maybe 50 to 70% of our audience probably knows this, but for those who don't, maybe they're just hearing about this for the first time. Can you just walk us through what, in this case, a scholarship offer might look like?
Yeah, full scholarships are few and far between nowadays. In most sports, kids will have to contribute something. Families will have to contribute something to that process. Now, our goal and what we see about 98% of the time with Elevate is that kids are earning in scholarship dollars or financial aid or academic aid or combine all three of those to get them to a point where they aren't going to pay more than what it would cost to go to school in Canada. So that's our target. Now, what you see is you'll see a combined athletic with academic, which is what's called stacking in the United States. Now, if you have if you maintain a 3.0 or higher GPA, and let's say you get $10,000 in academic money, that money doesn't count towards the scholarship allotment for lacrosse. Now, if it drops below a 3.0, then it does, and you may have your scholarship adjusted accordingly so that it doesn't affect the 12.64 scholarships that are allowed for an NCAA Division I program. Now, there's everything, top to bottom is different per institution, so it's always a challenge. Division I is scholarship and financial aid and academic aid based. Division II is kind of the same thing. Division III is all financial aid, which is consistent with the Ivy League programs, which all operate out of Division I. So, that's where we come into play, is we help, educate families and navigate this terrain on their behalf when kids are part of our program.
Jeff, a couple things that I want to talk to you about today. One is, well, they're both timely, but one has just come upon us, and I don't want to directly reference what is unfolding in Ottawa, but it does bring in, and this might be more of a professional player question, but it does revolve around team dynamics and it does revolve around relationships. But can you just talk about how a professional athlete and how a professional dressing room, organizes or deals with relationships, outside relationships, spouses or girlfriends or family and things like that? How does a locker room kind of deal with, sometimes you're not going to like somebody's better half or they're not going to like you, but you still have to be coherent in the dressing room?
Yeah, it happens all the time. I think the hats have to go off to, I've gotten to know a couple of buddies who have, who have wives and are playing in the NHL, and those are incredible women, managing families and a household while these guys are on the road. I don't think people really, I think people think that NHL hockey players have like this easy life where they just enjoy their time. These guys are on the road all the time. And when they're at home, they're practicing all the time. And their performance is directly correlated to the livelihood and the financial stability of their families, and the women that support these men, are unbelievable. I think that there's a dynamic there that certainly exists, but the experiences that I've had, sort of being around these things and experiences in our locker rooms is, there's sometimes people don't get along. It happens. But to be honest with you, the relationship in the team, there aren't atrocities committed against family members, or there isn't, something said, it happens and it's dealt with. But I think that team sort of concept extends into the families as well. They understand that you got to toe the line and you got to make sure that things are cohesive. Obviously, if there's things that, need to be dealt with, they get dealt with, but I think you're back to business as usual. I'm not too familiar with what's going on in Ottawa, so you may have to enlighten me, but my perspective on this is if there were issues, they would be dealt with on both sides of that relationship, whether it was a spouse or a partner that got into an argument with a player or a spouse that got into an argument with a spouse, whatever that may be. I think at the end of the day, the primary focus revolves around the team. And I think those families do kind of come on board with those teams. And that's why you see, family skate days and all of these things is to bring that family extends, to immediate family as well.
Not to blindside you, but remember 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Twitter when the Brian Colangelo story broke? It's about on that same level. So that one's breaking in Ottawa, involving a couple of a wife and a girlfriend and alleged, conflict and things. But it got me thinking about, again, all of these external factors that go into it. And, you have to take care of your body and you need rest and you have to practice and you have to be on the same page. And there's all of these things. But one of those areas, and again, I think we're dealing with professional athletes, or at least, older high level athletes, where you begin to look at the impact. Having said that, you as a coach know the impact of overbearing parents, and I like to think that overbearing parents are the exception, not the rule. But in this case, I guess it behooves kind of asking that question too, is the importance of making sure that it's just the team, just the coach, and everybody inside that locker room, right?
Yeah, I think amateur sports, obviously, there's a different dynamic that circles around, amateur sports or junior sports even. When you hit that junior level and you've got teams that are, trading players for other players or for cash or whatever it is, you're no longer an amateur athlete. You have become a professional athlete very quickly. And the same thing applies when you earn a scholarship or you are getting compensated for your time as an athlete, whether that is in education or, whatever it may be, you are now a commodity. And you are also, as quickly as you can get there, you can be gone too. That's why I urge parents, not to communicate with coaches. The kids need to be, mature enough and schooled in that department. And I don't think that can start early enough. Now, with respect to professional athletes and professional teams, that they're professionals for a reason. They have to act professionally. There is no room for the drama outside of the locker room to encroach on what goes on in that locker room, because their primary goal is to win games, is to put people in the stands, is to entertain. And, if you have a dramatic situation that's entering your locker room, there's not a lot of room for it. And that's, hence, amateur athletes, you would see that. Professional athletes, you should not.
He is Jeff Snyder from Elevate Lacrosse, our guest, every Tuesday for the Elevate Lacrosse Spotlight. Let's do something a little bit more fun, which is, and again, we're always kind of, we had two championships this weekend. We talked a little bit about the Russian. Congratulations. What, their third championship in the last 4 years in the NLL? Is that right?
Yeah, it's incredible. Derek Keenan's done a fantastic job with that team. I think the important thing to remember is they've got 6 first-round draft picks, I think, in the next, the next 6 drafts, or excuse me, 6, next 2 drafts, I think they have 6 first-round draft picks. So they're going to be, exactly. It's going to be trouble for a lot of teams for quite some time. They've done a very good job with that franchise.
The other story is, and I'm curious about your observation about Washington, because they win a Stanley Cup, their first Stanley Cup, and there's been nothing but just conversation. Their parade today, but leading up to their parade, the weekend, it just seemed like old school fun. It just seemed like a group that, got there, climbed the mountain, and then relished every second of it.
man, just seeing everything that's gone on just hearing kind of talk about people who have known Alexander Ovechkin, the growth that he's gone through, I think a lot of people weren't necessarily fond of him as a teammate originally in his career. The guy's a superstar and has had to grow immensely to get to this point. And it took him, 13 years to get here. So, it's really great to see, a person develop like that. And I think that was just, I think he wore that emotionally on his sleeve, watching him celebrate. I think that, that just spilled out of him all over the place, was just every piece of adversity, every success, every failure just emptied out of him, in that moment. And, is he relishing in it? Absolutely, as he should. And I think you look at the difference between, you want to juxtapose, the Cavaliers versus, the Golden State or yep. I would compare Golden State to the Washington Capitals here, man. That last game, the series that they played against the Golden Knights was they berated that poor team. They were physically tougher. Yep. They were they played a grittier old school hockey game. I thought the officiating just let that, it was just entertaining hockey to watch. And that is the type of, that's the type of playoff hockey that I think that we expect and we enjoyed so much. It just, if it was a less exciting series or a less physical series, I don't know if we would have enjoyed that as much, but you could tell that the Capitals earned every single piece of that. And just them taking over Washington today, I thought was, considering the political climate of the world, I thought was incredible as well. So, a great ending. I think, everybody, if you're not a Capitals fan, you were today just watching them celebrate something that was just, well-deserved and rightfully their championship to win.
Okay, so your camp, the ID camp was over the weekend. What's next for you guys at Elevate? What are you up to?
Well, we've got Calgary Field Lacrosse is open. We closed it down for registration. We're still getting inquiries, so we're working on that. It's substantially this year, which we're really excited about. We've reached out to a ton of kids that are back from college that are going to be working this summer with us and helping young men and women play this great game. And then we've got a summer camp coming up here in July as well that's going to be open. We got word that we got some positive news on what's going on with Team Canada. So now I'm in full blown, next month cranking down. I gotta get rid of the Steinberg diet and start focusing on eating a little bit better, I think. And no more OPA or anything like that for me.
So hold on, you might be burying the lead a little bit here. So you got positive news, because we have been on and off talking about this. What is the latest on the relationship between Team Canada and its players?
They've had some conversations. The steering committee that we have is directed by a couple of different people. Gary Gate, Rich Furlong, who's our representative. We have a couple other lawyers and some executives on that team as well that are driving the direction of this group, along with some players. We're going to be getting on a call tomorrow evening. And a call this evening with the steering committee call tomorrow evening with the players, and a call this evening with the steering committee to outline the conversations that have taken place between the FIL, which is the Federation of International Lacrosse, and the CLA, which is the Canadian Lacrosse Association. It appears that there's some amicability with respect to what's gone on, and I don't have all of the details, so I don't want to get on air and say that it's looking good and then it's not. But we'll have some more clarity on the direction this evening, and then we'll be presenting this information to the players collectively on Wednesday, and then have towards the end of the week a better understanding of what's going to transpire in the next 3 weeks. So it appears positive. Again, I've said that in the past and it's deteriorated pretty quickly, so we're optimistic, we're positive, but again, we're holding tight to the direction that we have, and to be inclusive for the men and the women here and the senior and junior national teams.
We will keep our fingers crossed. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you for doing this. We will catch up with you face-to-face here in the next week or so.
Sounds great. Good luck in Nanton. I love what you guys are doing. I hope everybody can make it out and drop off some equipment for Comrie's. And hope you guys get a lot of traction out there. Thanks for the guys at the Marine spot there to be doing this.
Alberta
as
Marine,
well.
Yeah. Great. Well, hey, listen, I've got a long memory, and it should be pointed out, last year when we did this, I remember a specific individual showing up with hundreds and hundreds of pieces of equipment for lacrosse that is being circulated throughout the city. So thank you for your ongoing support of Comrie's and kids' sport and everything we do.
You got it, man. You guys are the best. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Take care, Rob.